Now that our Nativity series, as far as reading the verses relating to the coming and the birth of Christ, have now passed, we're going to pick up where we left off way back at the end of November by going back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. So let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, as we pick up where we left off in the end of November. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 14, the first 14 verses. Luke 14, verse 1. Luke 14, if I said 13, I was wrong. Luke 14, verses 1 to 14 here this morning. This is God's Word. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Interesting question. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. I think if we read the four Gospels very carefully, and you get a concordance, and look up the word Sabbath day, and then read each one of those accounts where the Sabbath day is mentioned, I believe that you would find most of them, probably all of them, is referring to an event in the life of Jesus where he did something on the Sabbath day, or, like in this instance, performed a miracle on the Sabbath day, and then watched the reaction of the lawyers, the scribes, and the priests. On many occasions, they got very upset with Jesus. They got mad. They accused him of blasphemy. They even went so far as to accuse him of breaking the fourth commandment. And yet Jesus comes back each and every time with words that cause them to simply close their mouth. I'll even go one step further, because look at that verse 3. Here it is, a Sabbath day. They're in a person's house, and they got food. So somebody was working there in the kitchen to prepare the food. So apparently that was okay for the Pharisees and his buddies, because they were hungry and they wanted to eat. So all the women who were in the kitchen banging pots and pans, that was acceptable. Okay? As far as they were concerned. But then the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Sometimes Jesus enjoyed putting the priests and the Pharisees and the high priest and the lawyers and the scribes on the spot. Have you noticed that? It almost seems that on the Sabbath day, when Jesus did certain things or said certain things, he kind of went out of his way to rattle the cages of the religious establishment. And that's what I see here. Jesus here wants to rattle their theological wagon. And he did so with such style. Notice in verse 4, they held their peace. What does Romans say? Let God be true and every man be found a liar, to shut the mouths of the adversary. They couldn't say a word. Jesus tied their tongues that were normally waggling all the time against him. Nothing good to say about him at all. Always something nasty. Well, Jesus takes this man who had the dropsy, healed him, and then let him go. I imagine the room was totally quiet. If there was any noise, it could have been a few pots and pans back in the kitchen. But at that dining room table, there was not a sound heard. And then Jesus breaks the silence. Jesus answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out, notice, of all days, on the Sabbath day? And then look at verse 6 again. They could not answer him again to these things. Notice, they could not answer him again. Again. So here Luke is telling us that there had been prior episodes where Jesus on the Sabbath day apparently said something, did something, or healed someone, and it simply rattled their theological wagon. Again, it would seem Jesus went out of his way to rattle the established religious aristocracy on purpose. And on this occasion, they could not offer any rebuttal, and they could not say one word more. You know what Jesus was basically showing in verse 5? The hypocrisy of these men's religion. Here's their hypocrisy. You are more willing to show mercy and compassion to a beast of burden than you would a man sick of the dropsy. And when you look at man-made religion, what do you find? You find a misguided devotion and focus on stupid stuff versus focusing on the real issue of men's souls and demonstrating love. Jesus kind of reiterates that down in verse 12. Okay, probably speaking to the same crowd here. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, your brothers, your kinsmen, nor your neighbors. Because what's going to happen in most family settings today or in neighborhood? You invite somebody to your home, right? You put out a good spread. What does the other side feel? Obligated to have you over, right? Tit for tat. That goes on in families. We'll invite a family member. They may invite us first to their home for a nice meal. And when the meal is done, you come home and then you look at the calendar and say, hey, when can we have them over for a meal in our home? That happens every day. That's just human nature. But what does Jesus say? I think this is part of the story. He says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed. Notice, these people mentioned there in verse 13, they can't invite you to their home because probably they don't have one. We're to take the poor, the maimed, the blind, the halt, whatever, and feed them. In any capacity that we can actually do. It may mean bringing them to your home, or it may mean going to a rescue mission shelter or a homeless shelter and helping put out a meal, helping to serve, helping to minister to people that are in this particular state of life, knowing that they can never repay you back. And what does he say? You're going to be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Even that kindness to a homeless person or a person in a homeless shelter will not go unrewarded. So here Jesus takes on the religious establishment. And he shows them in that verse 5, "You're willing to show more compassion to an ox or a donkey than you do to one of your fellow man." And that was one outward demonstration, listen carefully, of the bankruptcy of first century Judaism in the days of Christ's public ministry. Amen.